Sounds good.
All right. Hi, it's Adam Harrison from the Cigar Boss Guitar Builder, and I'm here with the wonderful and amazing Keith Crumley today. Just a couple of things before we get started. We're back. It's now the beginning of February. Was it February 16th or so? A bit halfway through February. The idea is to bring you a lot more interviews with some fantastic builders. It's also an opportunity to get you guys to actually send some information in through the pod, through the Facebook group. And if you've got questions, or there's anyone that you want us to interview, or if there's anybody who you would like us to interview, please get in contact with us and let us know. Big thank you for all of those people who've been listening to the podcast. We've hit 15,000 downloads since we started, which is just an amazing thing. So a very big thank you to you. For those people who've joined up and who are following us, again, another great big thank you to those people. We do have a Patreon thing going through with Podbean. If you want to support the show, that is greatly appreciated. There'll be a lot more content coming through as well. You don't have to. It's not something. This is something I do because I just love talking to all these blokes out there and got guys and girls out there who are doing amazing things with musical instruments. So today we're talking to Keith Crumley, who has a company, a little company called Crumley Casters. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yes, I've been doing it for about 5 years now, a little over 5 years now.
Well, what were you doing before that, Keith?
I worked at a plant for about 32 years, and then I went to work at another plant for about another year. They closed down and moved as usual, and then went to work at a salesman at an appliance store for a few years. And then now I'm finishing out my last few months, fixing to retire in about 3 or 4 months, and fixing to do this full time here. I'm working for the city school system now, but about 4 more months I'm going to retire, and going to start doing this a little bit more often than what I've been able to. You know, working 40 hours a week. It's more or less just a hobby type thing, but I'm going to get into it a little bit more depth into it and build maybe some more different types of guitars and stuff than what I've been doing. So
yeah, I think you've just hit number. Was it number 89 or 85?
Yeah, I've just built number 94. I'm on number 95 and 96 now. I've got somebody wanting a couple acoustic guitars, so I'm in the middle of those. We're gonna try and finish them up this next week and get those going. And I've got a few more I've got to get built. It's been pretty busy these last 4 or 5 months.
So retirement's going to be a very busy time for you.
Oh yeah, I don't think there'll be much retirement to it.
And your wonderful wife, who what was her name? Is it
Deborah?
I don't know why I was going to say Linda. I apologize. Deborah, she's very supportive of what you're doing.
Oh, very supportive. Yeah, if we go anywhere, you know, she's on the phone. She's looking up cigar box stores. You know, like smoke around here, like smoking lounges. They have they keep cigar boxes and stuff. And I've got a couple of places I visit pretty regular, about 50 or 60 miles from here, and get my boxes and stuff. So right now I've probably got around 250 cigar boxes.
Oh wow, that's fantastic. See, here in Australia, we can't comprehend that. We really can't. We don't have cigar stores. We don't have that type of thing. What we generally find is the boxes that we mainly get here in Australia would be things like the Romeo and Juliets. We can get those almost anywhere. Every now and again, you'll find the punch boxes, and the ones I use, I've started using for my Lightning Boys years ago, are the Monte Cristos, and I've got a friend who supplies me with those. I'm not quite sure where he gets them. He must know someone in the gaming industry or through, you know, the might be clubs or things like that. But they're basically the three boxes that we can get a hold of. It's gotten to a point now where I've actually contacted one of the American suppliers to see if they can actually, what it's going to cost to actually send out a big box of, you know, of 20 just different boxes. You know, it's so you've. I think you guys are very, very lucky. When I see box stashes and people come in with, you know, they'll send a picture and there'll be like 40 boxes on the counter saying, "Look, I got this for $20." It's like, oh my god.
Yeah, that's normally what I do. A lot of times I'll just buy the bulk of them, you know.
Yeah.
If they've got them and they want to sell them for one price, I'll buy the bulk of them, you know, and some of them. But now I'm kind of looking for something different, a little bit different and unique, you know, because I've got, just like you said, I've got pretty much every style that everybody else has got. So now I just kind of look for something a little different, a different design or logo on it, you know, something a little unique and different. You know,
yeah, well, I started making. It got to a point with me that I started making my own boxes, and then applying different artworks and things that I like, so things that really kind of resonated with me, and they've become like with the shop and that they've actually become really, really popular, which has been great. And it also means that I'm not killing myself trying to find, you know, traditional cigar boxes. So I just call them box guitars. You know, just leave the seat.
They sound just as good as a cigar box guitar does.
They do.
And I'm going to do that too. I'm going to build my own boxes. You know, I'm going to do some different stuff. Like I said, after retire, I'm going to experiment a little bit and do a little bit different things and maybe make a few solid bodies. You know, get some thicker wood and make some solid bodies. You know,
that's great.
Do a little different thing.
I use a lot of plywood. I generally go, you know, I'll go to building sites and things where, you know, they're throwing out bits of wood, and I'll, you know, quite often I'll, and I've got some friends who work in the building industry, so whenever they've got old plywood and things like that, and I love building out of plywood because it's with the old 60s guitars, you know, the old Tescos and the old Suzukis and things like that. Most of them were all made from plywood. And they just have a wonderful character. So have a think about ply, actually, because it's an interesting material to actually work with. It's quite fun.
Yeah, it carries a different tone. I mean, the sound, the acoustic part is different in it. And plywood carries a different sound or a tone of its own.
Of course,
it's got a whole different sound to it.
That's right. But
have you thought of making any license plate guitars? Have you made any license plate guitars?
I do make some. I don't tend to make a lot. I think what's happened with me is that I've kind of not fallen into, but I've come up with a style of build that I do. And I do have people contacting me to do, you know, to do different things, but I find that with the workload I've got at the moment, I'm kind of having to say no to certain jobs because I just know that I can't fit them in. It's getting a bit silly. But the handy thing up here is where I am, there's other builders, and so I've actually been able to say, oh, well, look, why don't you go and check out Richard's work, or go and have a chat with them, because if I can't do it, I don't want to put them out. So I think I went through a stage of doing ukuleles for people, and it's just not something that I'm enjoying. So I'm discontinuing that. I'm not going to do ukes. I think I have to build for me first. it's just not what I like. But back to you, my friend. Look, how did you get it? How did you get into cigar box guitar building? How did you find out about it?
We've got a coffee shop, a local place. It's called a coffee shop here that we have, and they serve all different types of coffees and sandwiches and stuff. But they have music. They play music, live music there. Well, my son, he goes there a lot, and he got to knowing this guy. I know you know him, and a lot of people know him, Justin Johnson.
Oh, yes.
And he got to coming pretty regular, about twice a year, and playing at the coffee shop. And he was just getting started touring around pretty good. And so my son, he came in one day. Dad said, "You can build stuff." Said, "You need to build a cigar box guitar." And Lenny, he said, "He'll play it for you." He said, "If you can build it." Because now I'm telling you, I know nothing about guitars. I mean, no chords. I know absolutely nothing about guitars. How they're built, how they're fretted, the space, anything about guitars. So he talked me into building one. I built one, and Justin came. That was like in December. Yeah, about 5 years ago. This past December, about 5 years ago, and I built one. I didn't really know where you could find a cigar box. So was in Hobby Lobby, me and my wife one day, and said. My wife said, "Hey, here's some boxes right here." So they had some nice boxes. I've got it hanging over here on the wall. I can show it to you over here. I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, that's my first one.
That's fair. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and it's made out of a Hobby Lobby box. And then I just went and got a piece of wood. You know, I went online, looked, you know, on videos and stuff, kind of get an idea of how to make them. And so I put a stick in a box, as they say, and I thought, well, I want to put some sound to it instead of just being acoustic style. So I went and I ordered me a pickup, put me a little pickup in, a little P90 pickup in it, and I thought, well, it was fretless to begin with, and I thought, well, a lot of people like fretting them, so I said, well, I'll put this on here. I'm like, now, how do you fret the thing? And didn't really know how to fret it, so I went online and seen about how to do the spacing, and I mic'd it, you know, and what I used for a fretboard was a ruler. I mean, just a regular 3-foot ruler. You know, I cut it and I spaced it, and it's not exact, but the frets are not exact, but somehow or another, Justin Johnson made it sound good. I mean, and I've got it down here lately, and I thought, well, I'm going to see how much this thing's out, and I started picking around on it, and it's pretty bad. He just knew where to put he played with a slide. He just knew where to put the slide to get the words to sound right. But yeah, that's how I got started. Was my son? He got me started on it. And Justin, he played, and then I talked to him after he got through playing. He's good going around to these fans and stuff. And I talked to him, and he looked at it, and he said, "Man," he said, "you need to be building these things." He said, "You can build them." He said, "You just need a little help." And he said, "I can help you." He said, "I'm gonna be around for a few days." So a little bit later, he came back. He came back around, stayed with us for a couple of weeks, and we got up in the shop. And he's like, you know, "Here's how you do." And he showed me from start to finish. You know, "Here's how you do this."
This is Justin showing you.
Yeah, Justin Johnson showing me. Yeah, he's showing me. He comes, spends a couple of weeks with me now. You know, and we're out there 1-2 o'clock in the morning building cigar box guitars.
Oh, that's
what. But he's showing me everything, you know, what to do, the do's and the don'ts, you know. That's how I got started.
And I think there's going to be a lot of very jealous listeners out there hearing that you got your start with Justin Johnson. That's just an amazing and wonderful story. It's fantastic. Yeah, I had the pleasure of interviewing him probably about 2 years ago. Now for the podcast is one of the earlier of the and he was very very giving of his time, and he's a lovely fellow, and I just wish him all the best. I know he's doing a lot now, not just obviously with cigar box guitars, but I love the fact that he comes back to them. But he's not afraid to be playing with, you know, with standard instruments, but everything he does is always tinged with that you know, that roots. There's a roots feeling, a blues and roots kind of feel to a lot of what he does, and I think he's a really good ambassador. He's a wonderful ambassador for guitars in general, for music in general. He's doing a wonderful job.
Oh yeah, he's one of the artists that's sticking with the roots. He's not like, okay, this got me started, and now I'm going to something else. You know, he is actually sticking with roots music. You know, he can play anything with strings on it. I don't care what it is, 1 string, 12 strings, 15 strings, he can play anything with strings on it. I mean, Justin, he's a super nice guy. He's a great friend of mine. He lives just like 3 hours away from me now, up in Nashville, Tennessee. So we talk back and forth every once in a while, communicate back and forth. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years, but that's one of my things. When I retire, I'm going to go up and spend some time with him again and get with him a little bit, maybe build a couple up there at his shop. He's got a place now and got a little shop, so maybe I can get up there and kind of get with him and build some in his shop, maybe build one or two in his shop here for too long.
I think he's become very famous for those shovel guitars, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. Those are some. They're nice and they sound great too.
And the funny thing is that they're the thing that I've found with them is that they're not difficult to build, but the trick to it is actually you have to get the right shovel, because there's some that just simply don't work. And I do see builders out there who build them. It's a pet peeve of mine where they actually instead of using flat pickups, they actually use a standard humbucker or a standard pickup, and they cut a hole right in the dimple of the shovel, and it takes all of the tension out of the shovel. So you end up with this, you know, I'm showing my hands at the moment. This is visual for me and Keith, but it wobbles, and it's just, I sit there going, no, no, No. I built one that way, and I'll never build another one again. I thought I'd try the same thing because it's you know, it was just, I thought it might have been cost effective to actually do it with the standard pickup, and it's they're just not very, very good. So obviously, Justin Johnson's an inspiration for you as far as
as far as
it builds and music and that type of thing, and I suppose that's all part of why you get into it. I have a new question. Sorry, I've got a couple of questions here that I wanted to ask you that I didn't send you with the little blurb that I sent. But I've been thinking recently. There's a lot of people out there. I can kind of, if I'm going to characterize the people who are in the Cigarbox guitar community or the Roots instrument community, would you say that you're a builder who plays, or would you say that you're a player who builds? See, I think Justin Johnson's a player who builds, for example.
I'm just a builder that plays.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, but I'm not really good at it. You know, like I said, to begin with, I knew nothing about guitars or chords or nothing. And he kind of showed me. He said, "You just know these chords right here to get started, you know," and he said, "Then just go from there." So, but I'm more building than I'm trying to learn how to play. But I'm hoping, like I said, as I retire, then it gives me more time. I can sit down and I can just pick around on them, you know, and get to listening to them. I'm not a music reader. I can't read music, you know, but by ear, I can pick up pretty good, you know, more of an ear type. There's two different types.
I'm the same way. I'm 49 this year, and I've been playing since I was 17. I can't read it, but I've never read music. I've always played by ear.
Play by ear, yeah. There's a lot of people out there that does that. A lot of great musicians do that.
So with the timbers and things like that that you're using at the moment, what kind of timbers are you using for necks?
The only thing I use for a neck, I usually use a 1x2 piece of oak.
Yep.
And then when I start out, I'll make my scarf joints for my headstocks. You know, I make them out of about a 4-inch wide piece, my headstock I do.
Yeah.
And I'll cut it on the same angle as I cut my neck, you know, and then I'll glue my scarf joint. Well, then I'll get my fretboards. I'll get them, and I've got a little template made for my fretboards that I cut my slots in. I mark them off. I got a template, and I'll mark off my fret marks, and then I've got a little miter box I made that I cut my slots in.
Do you use your hand saw to do that?
Yeah, handsaw. Yeah, I try to do my motto is I like to, if they're handmade, I like to make as much by hand. And don't get me wrong, I've got drill presses, I've got little hand sanders, you know, and stuff that help out. But when I build my necks, after I glue the fretboard on and it gets glued and stays on, then I'll flip it over. Then I've got a hand rasp, just a file.
Yep.
It's where I used to work at Nichols Fall. I've got file. It's just a rasp. I'll rasp the back of the neck, kind of round it, shape it, you know. I'll rasp that off. Then I'll take a smoother file, and then I'll get those rasp cuts, you know, because they kind of put a little groove in them when you're rasping on them. I'll take a smoother file and file them down, and I'll take my sander and I'll hand sand them. Well, then I get a finer piece of sandpaper and sand them by hand and get them the rest of the way smooth and shaped like I want. And during this process, I'll just kind of run my hand back and forth over and see if there's, you know, see how smooth and level it is, if it's got any dimples or any waves. You know, I try to smooth them out because, you know, the grain of the wood sometimes will have a little, in oak, it'll have like a little dip or something in it. But I try to get them as smooth as possible. And that's how I shape my necks. I mean, and they turn out great. I mean, and a lot of times I hit it lucky, and the grain is just right on the back. It's just got a real good grainy neck on it.
Yeah. How are you finishing them?
When I finish them, I use different colors of stain. It's according to the box. If it's a lighter box, I use a lighter stain. And if it's a darker box, I'll go to a little bit darker stain, you know, like a walnut stain or a golden oak type stain. It's a little darker. And then after I stain them, I let them dry for about 24 to 48 hours with the stain on them. Let them get soaked in the wood good. Then I clear coat them with the spray. A lot of people, they like buy the stain with a polyurethane or something already in it. Well, I use this clear coat lacquer. It's in a can, a spray can. And I put about 4 to 5 coats. You know, I'll spray them, let them dry for about 10, 15 minutes, spray them, let them dry about 10, because it's real quick dry. And if you wait too long, then it kind of bubbles up if you wait too long to do it. You got to do it while it's still kind of tacky. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 5 or 10 minutes, I'll put another coat on. I do that about 4 or 5 times and get it real good shiny. I don't know if you've seen some of my pictures I posted, but I try to get that real good glossy, shiny look to it. And they last because I've got one guitar I've done like that, and it's been hanging in my shop for about 2 years now, and it's still
shiny.
Still nice and shiny. Yeah.
That's fantastic, man. All right, so what aspects of the build process are you most comfortable with?
Most comfortable with building the neck, shaping, like I was talking about, shaping and building the necks and doing the scarf joints. I like doing those and doing the neck, shaping the necks and getting them ready, you know, to sand and put the varnish stuff on, stain varnish on. That's the most comfortable I am with building them.
Yeah, and what about something that feels like a chore?
Frets.
Yeah.
I know I can get them cut right, you know, I can get them, but it's just hammering them in there and getting them level, getting them even, and I know you've built for some time now, and you know what I'm talking about trying to get them all even, not have that one just a fuzz higher than the other one. And the way I do that, I've got got about a 3-foot level that I put on it, and I've got a little small rocker. I bought a little rocker thing, you know, it's got string height and stuff on it, and I'll run it across my frets, see if one's a little higher or lower or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I'll hammer it down maybe just a little bit more or sand the top of it off just a little bit, you know, crown it just a little bit. But
yeah,
really, I don't really have to do much to my frets. It's just that, and then getting the edges, you know, how you get those sharp edges when you shape the edges of the frets. Now I take a real, real fine file. I've got a real small fine file, and I go around and I'll round those off. But, you know, you got to be real careful. You don't want to take too much of that off. It's just the fretting part is what I'm real tedious part of it, yeah.
There's a YouTube channel out there called, I think it's called Highline Guitars. And he's an electric guitar builder. And I saw this... an episode that he put up on how he actually does the files, the sides of his frets. And so I've got, as some of the listeners might remember, I've got arthritis in both my shoulders. So for me, sanding can be a real chore. It can be quite, and especially sawing, doing fret slots. I can usually do one, maybe two, and then I've got to rest because my shoulders will just give out. And so what I actually found was, he's got one of those disc and belt sander, Ryobi disc and belt sander kits. So I've actually, a lot of my fretting actually happens on that. So once you've got the board flat, so the saying is if the board's flat, the frets should go on flat, you know, so people have said that. And what I've actually found is that I can use the top, the belt part of it, which is dead flat, you know, it's machined flat. So I actually do the sides and do the angle on the side of the necks, so just by bending and twisting, and then two very light runs across the fret. So I've turned it upside down and put the frets onto the sanding board, and I only use I think I'm using 120 grit, which is not for a belt sander, it's not a lot of grit, and I've actually found that works brilliantly. And then I can go over again with the sandpaper blocks and then crown, and it's fast and it worked perfectly. You don't end up with high fret. That's just something I do. So,
Well, that's one thing about us builders, you know, you, me, and everybody else, we've all got a different way of doing it, and it works for us. You know, that way works for us. You know, what might work for me may not work for you or 100 other builders, you know. And then there's some of us that do pretty much exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I think it's what you become comfortable with, and I think that's an interesting thing. I've been putting a lot of videos up on the Cigar Box Guitar Builder YouTube channel, and every now and again I'll get a comment, and it's almost no, I do it this way. It's like, that's okay, that's all right, you're allowed to do it that way. I'm just sharing some ideas of what I do. It doesn't mean that my way is the only way.
I do that on my Crumb and Caster page. I've got little tutorials about, hey, this is how I do this. You know, always specify this is how I do it.
Yeah.
And I've had several people come back and say, hey, I'm going to start doing it like that. I've been doing it the hard way, you know. So, you know, those little tutorials, they're great, you know, for people, especially beginners and stuff, you know.
That's wonderful.
It helps people out. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people out there doing it. They're doing it, you know, and they're not doing it necessarily to sell guitars, because at the end of the day, like doing this podcast isn't necessarily designed, it hasn't, not that it, you know, not that it's just for builders, but obviously it's the Cigar Box Guitar Builder podcast, you know. So obviously we're sharing ideas with other builders and things like that, but it's not done to be a monetary thing. It's done to be, you know, a sharing thing. So I think it gets a little bit dull if it's just me sitting there showing what I do. You know, it's wonderful to be able to talk to somebody like yourself or Pat Proctor here in Australia or Nigel McTrustry or, Mike Snowden, you know, just wonderful builders. Everyone, and that's the thing I've found, is everyone has a different style of building. And it may not be the way you do something, may not be the way I do something, but it doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's different and it suits your style of build. And having said that, you've got you did a post a little recently about that very interesting 3-on-1 side headstock that you do. So you've got your normal crumbly caster headstock, which is if you want to use that, like the tilted back kind of Fender style. Do you know what I mean? How you've got the pointed Fender style. But the other one was rather interesting in that it's got that cutout and then the 3. How did you come across that?
That comes from my friend Justin Johnson again. He was here helping me build one, and he said, let's do this headstock right here. I don't know where he got it from. I don't know if he saw it or if it's just something he came up with out of his head. He just said, hey, let's do this right here. And so we done it, and I said, hey, I'm gonna make a pattern of this. So I've got a pattern hanging up on the wall. So every time I cut one out, it's just a flat piece of 1x2 wood. And I just cut out maybe about just enough for your, I don't know how thick it is, probably about half an inch thick or whatever, just enough for your tuners to go up into, you know, and come out. But I just cut it, just notch it out, basically, is all you do. It just notch the headstock out. You know, you make it just a little bit longer than normal, about 5-6 inches longer than normal, about like you do with one with a scarf joint, about 5 more inches. And then you just notch that out, and then you space your holes out. I really wouldn't recommend putting over a 3-string on it, because if you try to do a 4-string, it'd probably start bending or bowing a little bit on it, or it could possibly break off.
You might be too long too.
Yeah, it would be too long too. Yeah.
Do a 12-string in that style.
Can you imagine that?
Challenge.
You'd have to put a brace on the back of it to the back of the guitar.
I'll send you that challenge, Keith.
Okay.
Maybe an 8-string. Double course. Yeah, oh, dear. All right, so are there any, obviously Justin Johnson for you was a very big influence when you started building, and you know, you can't get much more of a great influence than Justin Johnson. But are there any other builders out there who inspire you or kind of make you feel, inspire you to build?
I've got several friends in this guitar family, what I call a guitar family. I've made lots and lots of friends. Some I've never met, you know, like you, I've never met, but that's my plan, is to start traveling here later on and start meeting some of these guys that have helped, you know, influence me and keep me going in this business. I mean, it's just a big family, and it's hard just to point out one guy being a, you know, just being an influence. You know, I've got all kind of influence, which, like you said, Justin is my biggest, he's my biggest influence in this, and he really, you know, if I've got a problem or I got a question, all I got to do is shoot him a message or just call him or contact him. But other guys, I can, if I've got a question or something on some of these groups that I'm in, we got an MGB family and friends group, you know, and then I can ask any questions on there, anybody, and any one of those guys. I'm in a guitar. I'm in probably 6, 8, 10, 12 different cigar box guitar groups. And anybody can ask a question. I try to help those guys out. If they got a question, hey, this happened. How to handle this, or how can I fix this? You know, and besides myself, there's probably 20, 30 other people chime in, you know, and you just go from there, you know. But it just keeps me, those groups that I'm in, it's what really keeps me going and keeps me involved in this, really, because I like to see their builds. I love seeing pictures, people post pictures and videos. I love seeing other people's builds and seeing what they've done. And there may be someone there like, oh, man, I could, you know, I run into that problem. I'm, you know, and they've got a way to fix it. Well, then that helps me, just like some of the things I mentioned them may help them, you know. But the biggest influence, I guess, your question is the groups I'm in.
Yeah.
All these cigar box groups I'm in. That's the biggest influence of what keeps me going and building.
That's a wonderful answer. That's a really great answer, that one. Now we're coming to the end of the interview. So I always have two questions. Now just to put geography into place here for you, you're actually in Alabama, in the US.
Yes.
Right. Yep. And now, if someone wanted to buy a cigar box guitar from you, or purchase one, or talk to you about it, have you got any websites, or how do people contact you to purchase a guitar?
I don't have a website, but you can go to Facebook and look me up. It's Crumbly Caster, CrumblyCaster, and just pull that up on Facebook. Put that in your search engine on Facebook. Pull it up, or you can Google it. Sometimes you can Google it and it'll come up. But you can find me on there. You can email me at glide096@gmail.com. You can shoot me an email. You can call me on my phone. It's 256-709-5240.
Yeah, too many numbers. And,
yeah, it's a long number. Yeah. By the way, MGB, Friends and Family, we got this thing going back there last August. I've got 2 cigar boxes in a museum in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, brilliant.
About 60 other ones, yeah. Yeah, they're on my Crumbly Caster Facebook page where I built those. There's pictures of them on there and everything, but they're in a museum, actually in the St. Louis Blues Museum. Well, and they've got all kind of blues stuff from Chuck Berry and all these other blues guys, fantastic blues guys. They got all that up there, but they got one big room set up with all our guitars hanging on them. And then out on the floor, some that people can actually pick up and play.
That's great.
Pedestal up.
The U.S. is an amazing, place. Like, for music, and there's so many amazingly talented people out there. But the thing that I love is that you've got an opportunity to have a museum that will focus on something like this. And it's I must make my way there one day.
You have to come one day. Yeah, they're going to stay on display until May. So if anybody's listening and they want to go up to or in St. Louis area, drop by the Blues Museum, and they're on display until May. Then they're talking about taking them on the road to different museums and displaying them at different museums after that. So that's their plan right now, I think. So I know when that goes through and all that, that's their plan. So
listeners, if you have a chance to go and do that, absolutely go and do that. All right, my final two questions for you, Keith. What would be your top tip to new builders? So as an experienced builder, what's your top tip?
If you're a new builder, if you're inexperienced, whatever, do like I did. Go and watch videos and YouTubes, you know, and videos like you've got, the how-to videos. Go and watch those first. I'd recommend that first. Then after that, you know, then you've got an idea. That's what kind of got me started. Then you've got some type of an idea of where you want to go and what you want to build and how you want to build it. Now, I have seen first-time builders build some nice-looking guitars, but they research and research and research. Before you start building, research. Look and see kind of how to get started, how to get it going, how to get it started. There's all kind of learning tools out there on the Internet everywhere. So that'd be my recommendation to any new builders. Just go out there and look, first look and see, and look at all the different builds and the how-to videos.
All right, and the very last question for the day is, what is your secret weapon?
Secret weapon. I don't really have a secret weapon. The only thing I can think of is all my jigs that I've got made, to like the one for my frets and the one to build my scarf joints, and you know, those are have to. You have to have something like that to build good guitars. I mean, you got to have jigs and what I call jigs or patterns. You got to have those to really get started and to do your guitars. And one of my main ones, and like I said before, Justin showed me this, I've got a long table and it's real flat. And I take about a 3-inch wide strip of sandpaper and I've got it nailed down to that. And when I am talking about leveling, make sure everything's level, I level my necks before I glue my fretboards on. And then I also level my fretboards before I glue them onto my neck. So I make sure everything's good and level before I ever get my frets on. I think that's one reason why I don't have so much trouble with my frets being so uneven.
Yeah.
Like some people do. Some people, you know, have a lot of trouble.
Well, that's what we were saying before. It's like having if your fretboard's flat to start with, if your neck and your fretboard are flat to start with, you shouldn't have problems with frets once they're nailed or pressed in properly. You shouldn't need to do too much attention. Keith, I wanted to thank you very, very much. I was meant to actually have an interview with Keith last week, but we've had storms and all sorts of strange things up here in the Blue Mountains here in Australia. And last week it was raining so badly from where I am here because of the roof, I wouldn't have been able to have had a chat with you at all. So thank you very much for your patience. I do appreciate it. I wish you all the best. Thank you for sharing. Keith, just in case you don't know Keith Crumley, Keith is one of those people who shares everything. It's lovely. It's really, really wonderful. So just personally, I do appreciate that as well. It's a very good thing. And what was the last thing I was going to say? Yes, just thank you. Really appreciate it. And it's been wonderful having a chat with you. So I've known you on Facebook now for a couple of years, and it's really wonderful to be able to talk to you in person today.
Well, I want to thank you, Adam, for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate these podcasts that you do, because I've went back and I've listened to several of them, you know, and they're really helpful. I like listening to people's stories and stuff, too, telling about their bills and stuff. But I really want to thank you for having me on today and listening to me and pretty much how I got going. And maybe this gets some more people started and get them interested in it a little bit. But thank you for having me on today.
My pleasure, Keith. All right, Keith, I'm just going to do a quick sign off, and then I'll say my goodbyes. For everybody who's having a listen at the moment, please keep in mind that we also have the Cigar Box Guitar Builder YouTube channel. There is also a group on Facebook called the Cigar Box Guitar Builder. If you go back and you're looking online and you see other episodes which are called the Handcrafted Guitar Builder, that's where we went through a little bit of a name change in the middle. But I think we are going to actually be interviewing some electric guitar builders as well. So it's although we're called the Cigar Box Guitar Builder, it's interesting to be able to talk to people who work in with other instruments as well. I mean, people who are building electrics and acoustics and things like that. It's not something that'll be a strong focus, but there will be some interviews coming up with some, if you want to use the term, standard guitar builders, because I still think that there's a heck of a lot of things that that those builders can impart, a lot of knowledge that they can actually give us. The thing that I've also found is a lot of people have been contacting me at the shop, at Birdwood Guitars, at Katoomba, and this podcast is actually that people are starting to know the podcast, which is a really lovely thing. So again, thank you for all of those new listeners, and thank you again, a big thank you for all those listeners who've been listening since day dot. All right, so this is Adam Harrison saying thank you for listening to the podcast. This has been episode 61, okay, and we're on our way to 100. Woohoo!
Yeah, that's great.
So, look, I'll be back with you next week with either another interview or Mark Wilmot from MRWS just shooting the breeze. Take care, be good to each other, and have fun building. Catch you later. Bye.